Hello, welcome to this episode of the Ref Pod Extra. The other two here hosts are not well today, but I wanted to keep an episode going. And with the current affairs with what happened to the Luton player at the weekend, it was a bit of a coincidence, really, because I've had this one lined up for a while with Dave, who's a referee, and Ben, who's a manager of a team. So I'm going to introduce you to Dave, who will explain what's going on, and then Ben will be able to come in at his ledger and describe what happened and how it was dealt with and everything here. So over to you, Dave.
Yeah, hi guys. So on the 17th of September this year, I was refereeing a football game between Creswell Ladies, which Ben manages, and Ellesmere Ladies in the Staffordshire Women's and Girls League. Around about 2:30, I seem to kind of fell over, collapsed, started to have a seizure, and then I stopped breathing. So Ben and one of his players, as well as the opposition, they immediately come onto the pitch, knew that I wasn't breathing, wasn't responding, and carried out CPR. While this was all happening, the other team players were frantically running around and trying to find a defib. But while that was going on, they managed to revive me. But again, I stopped breathing. So Ben and the others did another lot of CPR and brought me around again. By the time they managed to get a defibrillator, the ambulance arrived. I don't remember anything of the Sunday at all. So the only information that I know is what Ben and the other players have been telling me. So Ben, if I can hand this over to you.
Yeah, sure. So originally, as Dave said, he collapsed. We thought he fell over to start with, but soon really realised that he'd collapsed, and we thought he was having a seizure. So we got there as quick as we could. We put him in the recovery position, made sure airways was open, and just trying to monitor him really. And as others was calling ambulances, and as we soon came to realise that Dave had actually stopped breathing, one of the Eccleshaw coaches had art monitor on his watch. So we got there on Dave quickly and realised he'd flatlined.
Bloody
which
hell.
It was a bit of a shock to everybody. So we got him on his back and immediately started CPR. I was keeping Dave's airways open and basically holding his head like a ball, whilst one of our players and then two of the Eccleshaw players rotated, doing CPR, doing chest compressions. It was awful. We managed to get him back round once. We put him back in the recovery position, and as soon as we did that, he stopped breathing again. So we had to go back to CPR. I think we was doing CPR for around 25 minutes.
Bloody hell.
Altogether. It's the first time I've ever encountered CPR myself. Two of the Eccleshaw players have done it previously because they are nurses in a prison, I believe. But rest of the team, as Dave said, was running around looking for a defib to try and get somebody on reception to tell us where this defib was. But by the time they'd located somebody, we'd managed to get Dave's heart back into a rhythm that was, so he was able to breathe, and the ambulance came along and took over after that. And they obviously had their own defibs and stuff, and we just aided them in keeping Dave breathing. But it was just, it was an event that shocked everybody that was present that day.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So have you got any medical training, or did anyone helping you had any medical training or anything like that? Well, you know, it seems to have done a great job.
Yeah, so you have to do first aid along with your FA courses. So you do cardiac arrests and stuff like that. But like I said, I think two of the actual players was, I believe there was nurses at a local prison. And the girl that helped out is Jess. She works in a college. She's a teacher, like at a college. So, because she works with young children, and she's a sports science teacher, so she obviously has done all her first aid as well. So, but to be honest, natural instinct just kicked in.
Did it?
And it was. You don't think about it at the time. I think it the day after, when we realised what had actually happened to Dave and why it had happened, and the relief of him knowing that he was breathing, let's say, even though he was in an induced coma, we was led to believe, after surgery. That was like a massive relief for both squads. Both players in every squad.
Incredible. So, absolutely incredible work. Fair play to you. Absolutely unbelievable that is. I'm not sure I'd be calm enough to be able to deal with it like you did. It's absolutely an amazing story, and fair play to you. Dave, when you went to hospital, how long were you in hospital for?
So overall, I was in hospital for nearly 2 weeks. So when I arrived at hospital in A&E, they took my blood pressure. Blood pressure was like 300. I was in and out of conscious. I had a GCS of 3. So they did some scans, found that I had a blood clot in one of the arteries in the heart, and then a possible blood clot in the artery in my neck. So they scanned me again. The one in the neck went, the one in the heart remained. So they decided to put me into a reduced coma, and then at the same time put a stent in to clear the blockage. Then my partner arrived at the hospital. She wasn't really told a lot of information. But to expect that I wouldn't come around till about Thursday. But thankfully, I started to wake up. I would probably say about Monday evening, and then fully waking up on the Tuesday. Apparently, I was fighting all the machines, trying to pull them out. And they also put like cooling stuff to keep the core body temperature down, but it was doing the opposite. It was to me. Me and he just don't get on. So apparently I was trying to take all that off as well. So those, looking back, were good things to know and to think that I had very good brain activity. So I fully didn't come around until probably Thursday or Friday, to kind of comprehend what had actually happened. And then obviously reading all the messages. And ever so thankful for people being brave enough and having the confidence to make those decisions and start CPR.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I didn't hear anything about this until you just reached out to me, didn't you? You reached out, was it through the Twitter account, was it?
You know, it was through Facebook. I've been trying to get hold of the British Heart Foundation, but they haven't come back to me yet. And it's just basically getting awareness that cardiac arrest can happen to anyone at any age and it doesn't discriminate. But I think if the defibrillator was there a little bit sooner, would I have come around a bit quicker? I'm not too sure. But it does enhance survival rates.
And was this at a leisure centre football ground or what? Because he was saying that Ben was saying that they were running around trying to get a defib from somewhere. Was it like near a school or something?
It's at Wolverhampton College, isn't it, Ben?
Yes, Wolverhampton College, and it's actually a sports college. That's what kind of makes it a little bit worse. That you'd think it was they'd have some of that quick at their hand, or on the outside of the building, like most places have these days.
I agree, and I think if we can collectively work together to see if we can raise the awareness, which we can do through our podcast and other stuff we do, I think, you know, try and get some form of positivity that's come out of this. It's obviously positive that you're here, Dave. It's obviously positive that, you know, Ben was so keen to get involved and effectively sounds like he saved your life. Bless him.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that needs recognising. And I hadn't heard nothing in the press or anything. I like to think we've got enough people around the country that keeps the eye on these things. And I hadn't really seen, when I got your message, I was really keen to do it. And then, of course, last weekend, we have that Luton player, happened to him.
Yep.
Then I don't know if you'd seen, if you watched the Twitter accounts, there was a lad called Ryan who collapsed over the weekend, similar to what happened to you. But he had a little bit of a pop at a referee saying, oh, the referee carried on playing. And I just said, look, is there any need to blame the referee here? Or, because the referees, you know, if you think about what Ben's saying, you know, if a referee is watching that happen on a pitch, you just go into shock, I suppose. I think it's just to have the actions that Ben took was just or was it Bill? Bill or Ben? I keep forgetting which one it is.
Ben.
Yeah, I thought it was Ben. And it's like, I just think to have the courage to do that is great. And when he had this exchange with Ryan, who can't come on tonight, he was going to come on, he wants to get involved in it too. He realised he shouldn't have mentioned the referee in it. So he's really keen. So we swapped some messages today and he was saying, look, you know, what was happening is when I was down, all his players were saying, stop the game, stop the game. And then they lost the ball. No, they had the ball and it wouldn't stop the game. So the opponents were saying, when they got the ball, the other team was saying, stop the game, stop the game, stop the game. So whoever had the ball was deciding who stopped the game instead of someone just stopping the game. And we always say as a referee, you know, just stop the game. And maybe if there is anyone who's got any medical responsibility, you would say to them, look, if someone goes down like you did, Dave, just run on the pitch. Don't worry about me blowing my whistle. Don't worry about me stopping a game. You just run on because you know your players, you know the situation. I just thought, what was the important message with Ryan's bit? And we'll get together with Ryan. Was that he wasn't quite, you know, he said he was just in the hospital or in the ambulance, hadn't really woke up. The photograph he put on Twitter was him actually in the ambulance. And I just didn't think it was recognised. The trauma, you know, the referee would go through, thinking, oh my God, if someone died during a game, I'm referee, that's a traumatic thing and a big challenge for his mental health. Equally, we have you here now, Ben, and you're like doing what you're doing, and you've ran onto the pitch, and you've, you know, your heart rate must have been going through the roof. You know, you must have been really,
absolutely.
Fair play to you, mate.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like I said, I think it just human nature kicks in, I think, and everybody wanted to help. Don't get me wrong, there was some of the players was standing shocked and probably froze. But the people, myself and the girls that reacted, and even the ones that went and got ambulance and stuff like that, it was just like an amazing team effort. It was like, and we haven't met, it was the first time we played Eccleshaw or met any of these girls or anything, but everybody came together and as one.
Fantastic. And how old are the girls? How old are the players?
Ultimately.
How old are the players?
They're probably about mid-20s.
Oh, so it's adult female football.
Yeah, it's open age football. So it's open age football. Ladies. But yeah, it's probably they're probably about mid-20s.
And I think this, you know, what's happened recently in the Premier League and what's happened, what we just talked about, Ryan, and there seems to be an awful lot of, this happening, where we see a lot of people having sort of heart attacks and stuff like that during the game. And I just wondered, when you said about trying to get some campaign of awareness going up about having maybe make sure we got trained people at every game, make sure everyone who goes to the game knows where the defib is. I don't think that's going to be a hard thing to try and get going and get someone behind us to you know, to say, look, you know, this is getting to be more common than ever, really. And I think...
Yeah, and that's the thing. This sort of thing needs to be exposed. It needs to be brought into the public eye. The mainstream media needs to get hold of this, say, hang on a minute, this is a problem. What can we do to try and fix it? Now, within how this links up in the football community is that I want to make sure that every team has access to defibrillator one way or another, whether it's fixed onto a wall that's publicly accessible, or through funding, through fundraising, or through initiative, that they have a defibrillator on the pitch side. So if something like that does happen, they've got potential that defibrillator can save a life.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what might be another good thing is like when you said earlier that when you take your badges in it, whatever, you get got to take CPR. I just think if someone hasn't done the badges for a long time, maybe to offer some interim training, like an upskill, a CPD every season, where we ask the county FA, look, no matter how long ago you did your badges, it could be 10 years, couldn't it, or whatever, to make sure that CPR is a real big part of the CPT development of all coaches in the country. I don't know if it is. I mean, that's something we can look at. But if it isn't, I really certainly think it should be offered every season as part of training of some sort.
Yeah, so you have to renew every three years. Your FA, first aid. Yeah, well, just your first aid. You have to do safeguarding and first aid every three years. Yeah.
Okay.
But I totally agree with what you're saying. Get a CPD each season, because it changes so much so soon. The guidance, because it goes from you have to do three rescue breaths to, well, you don't have to do rescue breaths anymore. You just do 32 compressions. So if you're not up to date with your first aid, you're not going to know that.
I think that's important.
So that's definitely something.
Yeah, I think it'll be easier to get that done than the money it costs for defibs. But equally, I think we should try to do both. I think, you know, we can get together somehow. I'll push this out on the ref pod, see what else traction we can get with Ryan. And I'm sure what I found happens with stuff like this, certainly with how we've been addressing abuse and online abuse, when more and more people get involved, it gets traction. The media pick it up. You know, I've only got to put a tweet out on the Ref Support Twitter account. And normally within hours, I've got a mainstream journalist from The Times or Telegraph or The Guardian coming to me saying, oh, what's your input on this? And TalkSport, as you know, I go on TalkSport a lot. I think they could get behind this. And I just think if we get the right framework of how we're going to do this, and build on it with other people's experience, similar things, I think we get some good momentum here and try and really make another positive difference at what happened to you, Dave. So have you got children, Dave?
Yeah. So I got two children, one six and one four.
Really?
So,
as a family, that's a big shock, because obviously it's hard to explain to children that young what's happened to the daddy. But also, you know, their mother, your missus, is going to... That's a big thing to deal with. Two young kids. You're in hospital. You don't know when you'll be coming round. So, you know, such a traumatic experience.
Yeah. But, I mean, we had a strong family connections. So my parents came up from Bournemouth. As soon as they heard, obviously, what's happened... Kids went off to the grandparents. So obviously my partner can just focus on, you know, me. But yeah, you know, Stanley have been very good.
Well, just to give you a bit of a an input of the power of our social media, is that just an hour before we started this podcast, I got a message from one of our followers who said to me, there's a foundation called RJ Foundation who may be able to help you in regards to more access to defibs in sporting areas. They've started a charity where they fundraise for public access to defibrillators in memory of Jamie. Yeah, I think it was one of the founders' child. That goes to show how quickly this can develop. That's within hours of us putting stuff on the website, on the Twitter page, about probably a little bit antagonistic, because I went to the lad and said, look, you know, I know, I'm glad you're well. You're obviously well because you just tweeted from an ambulance that you're on the way to hospital to have a pop at a referee. So things must be a little bit better. However, you know, I hope you're well. How can we help? That's what's happened. Already we've got someone coming forward to us looking for people who raise funds for public access for defibs. I think if we could maybe start at seeing what the venue you were at, maybe approaching them and saying, what have you learned from what happened to Dave? What's different? Yeah.
Absolutely. One of our leading members at the Creswell, she sent a very stern email straight after the incident, because of how long it took to find a defib at the time. And just really, like Dave said, if the defib could have been there almost instantly, would it have woke up quicker? Would the effects have been? Would the effects have been less?
Yeah.
I mean, prior to the whole incident, after why isn't it outside on the wall like everywhere else? And you just found the ambulance. There's a code you can punch in and you can get in. And it's there within 30 seconds. We're talking 25 minutes.
Incredible.
Now,
so 25 minutes. Sorry, mate. There's a bit of a delay. So, do you know when you have your appointments, Dave, and you get your fixtures, Ben? Are they both on the whole game system? Is that right? Do you all go on or on full time, or where do these?
Yeah, full time.
Full time. Now, do you think there's a way of maybe on full time there's a click that tells you where the, you can click on it and tell you where the nearest defib is? Is there something like that on there? Could that be put on there?
Could possibly. Going forwards, I'm not too sure if, you know, the head of the FA who controls that will be able to do that. I possibly could be a thing.
I know people might in panic stations, the first thing that's not going to come to their head is, oh, let's go on full time. But if there's an exposure piece there that says, look, if you go back onto where your fixture is, there's a defib there or whatever, could even be a contact number for the person who's in charge of it to tell you where it is or to bring it to you. I just think maybe that could be another level to the campaign we want to do, about another level of support where, you know, on your fixture, you can go, the defib is there, or something similar. I just think doing nothing isn't a choice here, is it?
No. So obviously, when I was still in hospital, I had a lot of, you know, gratitude to everyone. So I was like, what can I do to help these two teams in the long run, and also to thank them? So I've come up with an idea of having a charity match. And I'm hoping that it will be like an annual event. So my idea is to hold a charity event. Not too sure where yet. That is a work in progress. But the proceeds will be half split to a charity, and half of the rest of the donations will go towards a defib for Creswell. Because Ecclesshaw, they got one at their home ground. It's publicly accessible, but Creswell just don't have that facility. So that was my way of kind of thanking them of what they did to me.
I think that's a great shout. So who would be your local Premier League club, for instance, or high-profile club?
So we've got quite a few. So there's Stoke, there's West Brom, there's Burton Albion. I think that's
Wolves,
it.
Walsall,
that's it, yeah, Walsall.
Well, maybe we could approach all of them. It's just going to be one email to each of them saying, look, this is what we're trying to do. This is what happened. Would any of us, you know, offer, you know, a free, we can play a free game on there. It doesn't have to be 11 a side.
I've contacted Stoke City.
Okay.
They should be coming back to me by the end of this week.
Okay.
I've outlined my ideas. They love the idea. They think it's fantastic.
Oh, brilliant.
The dates sort of just haven't been released yet for charity events. So I didn't want to mention this then, but I'm holding on to, you know, Stoke.
Well, listen, I'm sure with the contacts we've got, I'm sure we can do something which could raise, you know, something. I think the contacts we've got, if we just do a bit of focus on getting something for your club, Ben, as a thank you for what you've done. I think that I don't think that's going to be a difficult thing to achieve, really. And then we build on the momentum of that collectively. We get other people involved, and I just think it's something that we should really, really push.
Yeah.
What I'll do then, boys, I'll get back to you on an email. I'll email back to you as we get something going. In the meantime, I'll put this out on the Ref Pod and on the Ref Support UK Facebook page via a YouTube link. So it'll be really easy for you guys just to share the YouTube link. You can cut and paste it onto WhatsApp or whatever you want. And then we'll, you know, we'll come back maybe in a couple of weeks and see where we are and see what momentum we can get going for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
But listen, thank you for reaching out to us, Dave. That's exactly what we want to be. We're a venture charity. We don't charge for our help and support. We're not everyone's taste because we're a bit militant. We like to shove the problem right in the faces of people to say, it's not going away. We can't sit in the corner and be quiet. And having something good like this and recognising the good clubs out there, like your club, Ben, and there are many, many other good clubs out there, it's only fair for us to start pushing the positive side of what happens to referees. And I think I'm not sure there's anything more positive than what you and your club did, Ben. So I just think that needs some form of recognition.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Creswell is a fantastic club. They've just been awarded the King's Award, voluntary King's Award.
Really brilliant.
Yeah. So that says a lot within itself. But what happened with Dave is, I hope it's just once in a blue moon sort of thing. And if we can make one small difference, then I'm sure we're going to save more lives.
Well, what a great way to end this Ref Pod Extra. And it's just great that you're here for Christmas, Dave, with your family.
Absolutely. Around yeah.
you. Wonderful, wonderful.
You know, unfortunately, Phil couldn't get on tonight. But again, Creswell, Eccleshaw, you know, definitely up there.
Brilliant. Well, listen, I'll tag us all in it. Anyone that's listening to follow us on the Ref Pod on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube at the Ref Pod, and that's where we'll be. So listen, really glad that you gave your time up for this such important course, and let's make sure we can get more positive news about this. And thank you again for coming on, boys.
No worries. Thank you.
Right, what I'll do, boys, I'll put this into some editing formats. We've stopped recording now, so we can cut it back. And then we can, you know, I'll get it to you, and then we can go from there.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, something.
Well, listen, good luck with everything. Keep in touch, and if you can get an email to me, get your email address to me, Dave, and then we'll get something going. Bring Ben into it, and anyone else you want into it, and let's see what we can push going forward.
Fantastic. Cheers for coming on, Ben.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. Thanks, brilliant. Ben. Have a good Christmas.
And you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.